5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the first breaking news of 2026 of what most people think. And wow, I look out the window and January, it's January, isn't it? January is so on brand as a month. It's like nothing good's going to happen, okay? It's going to be cold. The travel is going to be fucked. You know that thing you wanted a while ago? Snow? Well, you're not going to get it when you want it. You're going to get it now when you least want it. Not only that, there's going to be world news that is really deeply unsettling to the point where it threatens NATO Article 5. And also, it's a long time till payday. However, right, I am aware that there is lots of global news, and I was looking around all the newsy news podcasts, and they were like, Trump, Venezuela, Cuba, Trump, Venezuela, Greenland. I was like, you know what? This is a UK podcast, right? And while I believe firmly that you're worried about all that stuff, or you've certainly got an eye on it, let's be honest, this week, what most people are thinking about is the weather and pubs, all right? It's the weather and pubs, isn't it? These are the things that are going to affect our lives more immediately. Is it raining? Is my pub still going to be open in a year? How much is it going to cost to go to my pub? And will they change the drink drive limit? I'm going to just go on a hunch that for this episode, that is what I'm talking about. And it's really interesting because I did a record. I'm recording this Friday morning, and I did a record of news quiz last night. That's going out this evening at 6:30. Jeez, I'm a radio guy today. I'm on Matt Chorley's show from 3 p.m. on 5 Live, and then I'm also on Times Radio from 7 p.m. So you won't be able to get away from me on the wireless, I was going to say. But it's interesting because, you know, when you do a topical panel show, you go out there and the one thing that you really want is for everybody to know what you're talking about. It's the same principle that makes observational comedy work, right? It's the reason why Michael McIntyre is such a brilliant and successful comic, is when he talks about, you know, the man draw, you know, we all do this, we have a man draw. And everyone goes, that's true, Michael, we do have a man draw full of batteries and USB leads. If he went out and said, you know, the drawer where you keep photos of dead animals, everyone goes, whoa. Imagine that if McIntyre suddenly went dark McIntyre. So it works because we understand the references, right? But also, like, when people are a bit depressed about the news, they sort of want things to be lighted up. So we did a big section on world news on News Quiz, and the audience liked it well enough, but you could sort of feel the change in gear shift when it came to the weather. Everyone sat forward and went, yeah, the fucking weather, man. So I will be talking about that in this show. I'm going to talk about Labour doing a U-turn on the rates hike for pubs. I'm going to talk about the fact that they're talking about reducing the drink drive limit, despite Britain having the safest roads in Europe, pretty much, right? And then we're also going to talk about the impact of the weather. So it's pubs and weather all the way today. going to do a first piss take prices of the year. So do people keep those coming in to me, what most people think, uk@gmail.com. We'll use the hashtag piss take prices on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, threads, fucking just any old shit that's come out this week. Use the hashtag. I've got a few. One of them was from last year that I missed, was £6.49 for a big bag of Doritos. I mean, that is just £6.40. Also Doritos as well. The crisp that's going to leave you stinking. And apologies to Doritos if there is an ad for them. You know, it has its place. But you're going to have orange lips and you're going to smell, okay? And you're going to be charged £6.50 for the privilege. Anything involving a call out. You know, like with locksmiths or when you lose your car key, right? Or one of these wireless car keys now. You have to ring up the people, the ex. But you know, like these kind of gatekeepers of an essential skill that we don't have that will be pretty fucked without them. They do this thing like call out charge, which is like, you kind of go, but I'm not in an emergency. I just want you to come and fix this thing. They go, yeah, it was an emergency call out charge. It's not an emergency. Let's schedule it in. I'll even do it like the GPs. I'll take an appointment 2 weeks from now. Yeah, what you mean is you're just going to charge me £250 because you know I'm in the shit. And fair enough, I am. Also, I want to say piss take price. This is slightly tangential, but I've noticed, because I go into London a lot, I come out of St Pancras, and there's a lot of these fancy places now. Gales, I mean, this might just be showing my hand that I think Gales is fancy, but is they started putting their prices up, and instead of saying, I mean, actually displaying their prices, and instead of saying like £4.40 and putting, you know, 4.40, they started putting 4.4, 5.1. Fuck off. Seriously. I know what you're doing, all right? One, you think it looks cool, I don't know, a bit European. But also, it just makes it seem like I know a number, doesn't it? You know, if you 4.9 does sound cheaper than £4.90, don't you, we're on to you, okay? The people of Britain will not tolerate being fooled in this matter. However, having said that, there was a queue at Gales. New patrons, if you want the podcast early, ad-free, and with bonus content, and I should say this week, because on Times Radio tonight, we're doing the first ever Friday night quiz, right? We're doing a pub quiz now at the end. I went to one of the VIPs to be one of the first ever members. So if you are a patron and you fancy doing the Friday night quiz on Times Radio with an opportunity to win a bespoke, I mean, if you put bespoke in front of anything, it sounds better, doesn't it? Do you want a bespoke punch in the face? Ooh, bespoke, that sounds good. If you want to win a frosted pint glass, do just message me through the Patreon app. We've got a couple of new patrons. We've got Colin Phillips, Captain Phillips. Hey, when you go on a stag do. Captain Phillips, is that what your mates call you? And they go, hey, I am the captain now. And everyone goes, you can't do that accent, Steve. And go, no, I'm just quoting a film. And then your really woke mate gets pissed off. He fucking leaves the stag do. Then exits a WhatsApp group and it's a whole thing. But we're very glad to have you with us, Colin. And then we've got Eliza Do Nothing. Eliza. I think you're... is your name really Eliza and you've just learned to do that pun? It's a good pun. Or is this a whole construct here? I don't know. That must mean that you work in an industry where you cannot. Maybe you work for the Labour Party and you want to still be welcome in a pub anywhere in Britain. Well, they will know. They will know that you're a Labour Party member because, I don't know, you'll come in there with a clipboard and an enhanced sense of your own importance. The thank you and the fuck you. The thank you is to Grok. There's two things here, right? This is a proper news story. But Grok, which does seem to be, on the one hand, quite a decent and you know, fairly objective AI model. On the one hand, I'll get to the other stuff in a minute. But so a few people asked Grok, who is the biggest spreader of fake news and social media? And Grok was just like, oh, Elon Musk, without a shadow of a doubt. Look, here's the number. And I thought, I don't know, does this hurt Elon Musk, or is this actually exactly the kind of reverse psychology marketing that any business needs? Go, this is so good, it even slags off the boss, the person who owns it. But then you go, hang on, if we're going down the Terminator route here of Skynet becoming self-aware, it's going to involve the creation turning on the creator. So I don't know if that's good. And then there's the other thing of Grok, which is, you know, people just using it for kind of like grotty grok, and they're using it to, you know, put this MP in a bikini, and then even worse still, you know, sexualized images of children. You know, Grok has come out and said, like, this isn't what it's for, we're gonna look into it and stuff like that, and you kind of go, this, you know, what's weird. And then the story kind of snowballs into a lot of people on the right thinking that Keir Starmer's going to shut down X. I couldn't find any specific allusion to that possibility. But you also go, like, this country, for something, a business that operates here, to be producing, you know, on a fairly large social media platform, images of men and women in public life doing stuff. What the fuck, right? And so call me a government stooge. What are they supposed to do? And go, hey, you know, free speech. You go, like, you just can't fucking do that, man. You can't do that. And there are, and I'll say again, you know, I'm about to slag off this so-called left-wing government over pubs, but I will say this about the online right. So invested in certain arguments, they can't just stand back just for a second and go, what would you do if you was in power and there was a huge AI tool used by lots of people that was, you know, producing dodgy images of kids? No, they shouldn't shut the whole site down. But equally, them trying to deal with that issue isn't necessarily like a bad thing. There you go. But what do you think? Come on, man. You must think the same as me. I don't know. Maybe that's arrogant of me. But let me know. The fuck you. So I got a message. And this was via email. Remember, Patreon, I always see quicker. Email, I check maybe once a week. But I got a message from John Rooney. Jesus, you sound like a guy that's in exile on the Costa del Crime. You know, one of those Sky documentaries, Costa del Crime. John Rooney was massive in Britain in the 80s. It'd just be some guy totally overdoing it with a Mockney accent. John Rooney was absolutely fucking savage. I love the way they do those documentaries, trying to make out that they're still, you know, taking a moral judgment on crime and go, isn't crime fucking brilliant? John had it all. He had the sovereigns. He had the Capri. John Rooney. So he sent me a message, and it's from Give Me Sport, which is the most famous fan of every club in English Football League. And John says, so I'm an AFC Wimbledon fan, and John says, I scrolled down expecting to see you listed. And who do I find? June Whitfield and John Green. I'm not even sure who John Green is. You need to have a word. Okay, now listen, when I go out and about, I would say that one in every 60 people might know who I am. Maybe, like, you sort of see people look at you and they're either thinking, God, that guy looks old and tired. Oh, those glasses are a weird fit for his head. But I'm not close to being what I would call, I don't think, famous, you know. So I really would love to be on that list. But June Whitfield, come on, man, it's June Whitfield. And she was a Wimbledon fan. More so back in the old days. I remember when we won the cup, maybe June was a bit of a glory hunter. No shade, but June, you know, she was in Ab Fab. That is big. And John Green wrote the Fault in Our Stars or something. And he is a very famous writer and he's very rich. So I think I cannot possibly say that I am more well known than those people. But equally, I'd like somebody like nominate me, for fuck's sake. I'd love to be. You know what my dream is, right? My dream is for Wimbledon to be like in the fifth round of the cup against Spurs or something, and then just a cutaway to me watching the game. You know, like they do in Atton Deck, watch Newcastle United. There is something weirdly aggrandizing about that that I think I would get off on. It's also like, strangely, if they use you in the trailer for something, there's something about being in the trailer for a program which is way more high profile than being on the show. You get people, honestly, when I've been on trailers for things, people go, oh my God, I saw you on a trailer. You know, on a whole week of Richard Osman's House of Games, people don't say shit. You're on a trailer. Jeff, I think you finally made it. But on the subject of AFC Wimbledon, I am doing a gig there. And this is how important it is to me. I should be hyping my own tour dates this week on Live Nation, tickets available. But I'm doing a show there and it's a fundraiser for AFC Wimbledon. It all goes towards the playing budget and the club, and it's on the 22nd of January. So if you live in the area, it's not exclusively for the fans. It's a comedy night that just happens to be at the club. It's called Not in the Wider Interests of Comedy, which is, it's a reference to AFC Wimbledon's interesting past. But we've got Alistair Barry, a brilliant comic. We've also got Nathan Caton, who's also a fantastic comic. He's a Brentford fan, but other than that, he's all right. I think Alistair Alistair. I think Alistair Barry is a Southampton fan, so they're not even like glory hunters either. It's proper football fans. And it's going to be a really good night there. So if you live in the vicinity of Plough Lane or even just anywhere in that South London region, do come on down. It's going to be a top night. And obviously, I won't be taking a fee for that gig. But if you want to give the people at Give Me Sport a nudge and say, could you please add the thirsty little bitch, Jeff Norcott, to that list, I'd greatly appreciate it.
What most people think.
All right, let's talk about the politics for this week. And we're going to start with Labour and their problem with pubs.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So it appears that Labour have got a problem with pubs. And I would say that of all the things that it would be a bad optic, there you go, could do a lot of puns here, you know, and it's not in the spirit of being British, eh, and something to do with pints, is to not like pubs. You know, it's very un-British to not like pubs. It would be like Keir Starmer just going out there and saying, I fucking hate Paddington. Little sanctimonious fucking prick. If I see that little bear with his fucking, I will drop kick that prick. So it's a bad message to send out. And of course, there is now a U-turn of sorts, but this is kind of what Labour have done. So the issue that people had originally, the businesses had, was that the changes in business rates were going to put the rates up for pubs by an average of 76%. Now, this is pubs that have already been squeezed by people drinking less. This is pubs that have already been squeezed by the cost of hiring people in hospitality. You know, availability of stuff, just everything is going against pubs at the moment. And then Labour have come in and said, well, you know, we want some more of your money. We want some more of the less money that you have. Pubs are shutting at a rate of, I don't know, throughout my life, certainly for the last 20 years, the rate of pubs shutting is up there with, you know, when they used to talk about the amount of trees that were being felled in Brazil, it was always the size of a football pitch, wasn't it? The size of 10 football, the size of fucking Wales. And I think it was just mad for Labour to walk into this. But what I'm kind of worried about is the sneakiness of how they've done a number of things, where they've gone out to bat with a really unpopular policy, whether that be winter fuel or whether that be inheritance tax on farmers. And then they take all the stick from it, which seems politically mad. And then eventually they go, we're going to water it down. And you think, was this the play? Is this how you're doing business? You know, winter fuel, it got kind of slightly watered down. Inheritance tax, they haven't rode back completely. The business rates, it's not a complete reversion, is it? And you go, oh, is this the slippery little Starmer-ish way? That could be a good way of describing things. Yeah, he was a bit Starmer-ish, you know what I mean? Very old slippery out there. And so, you know, if you kind of like, it's just like, if you want reform to win the next election, reform, if you go, right, who likes pubs? Reform. Whose MPs have recently been banned from pubs? The Labour Party. That wasn't an endorsement of reform, by the way. I've had a few people recently on social media that seem to equate criticisms of the Labour Party with being pro-reform. It's, yeah, It's not, right? But I can also see why the British public, if they value certain things, would go, would just look around the political spectrum and go, well, who shares that? And certainly with pubs. And with Nigel, Nigel has very much said, I like pubs, I like cigarettes, and I like having a laugh and telling NPC jokes. And, you know, that sort of squares with quite a lot of the British public. Now, the other issue as well being discussed is that they might be reducing the drink drive limit, you know? And what bugs me about this, I don't even know what it is, but I think most people would think, I only ever have, I already just say one drink maximum, right? That's what I do. I do think that if you're sitting down and you're having a meal, the way the body processes alcohol and stuff like that, people can, you know, people will maybe have more than that and feel that that is safe, right? And what bugs me is that they're tinkering with this and they're sort of thinking of bringing it back down to basically a what would be equate to a one drink maximum. Now, firstly, the funny thing about this is that it would affect women disproportionately, all right? And I think that's actually very bigoted. I do the Labour Party. I think in the age of equity, if you really want to do the DEI thing, I think women should have different drink drive. Theirs should be higher. This is the way that the logic of that would work if you actually put it into kind of like extreme practice. I think women should be higher because they've been, the patriarchy has decreed, right, that women have smaller bodies. So thereby we need to redress that by letting women drive a little bit pissed. But yeah, it will mean that for some people, really, you can't even have a whole drink. What they're sort of doing, this is what they're doing. They're sort of saying that for almost everybody, we don't want you to have a drink at all. And one of their ministers was on the air, and it's just such a difficult position to be in. And they're sort of saying, well, you know, you can go to the pub, just, you know, get a nominated driver. Go, look, no, by the way, nobody's doing nominated driver for a Sunday lunch. Nominated driver is for a session. It's for a big one, okay? It's such a somber thing to ask of a human being. You don't do that for Sunday lunch. And then they said, you know, you could get a taxi. Oh, what, in rural areas, yeah? Just do an Uber, shall you? And this is the worst thing he said, you could have a non-alcoholic drink. And you're like, my God, you don't even want to be in government at this point.
What most people think.
And you know what else annoys me, right? Is that they've just got to tinker, haven't they? It's like Sadiq, where governments and people in power find it very difficult to do anything that they see as positive and leave a legacy. So they take something that's already going well and they go, could we just tweak that? You know what I mean? Raise the sugar tax or, you know, instead of 20 mile an hour, speed limits for driving in London. Should we just walking pace? Should we just call it walker? You can drive at just like a one mile an hour over walking pace. And we already in Britain have very low fatalities per 100,000 in comparison to Europe. Could it be lower? It could always be lower. How about doing that with a public awareness campaign, right? Remember those? Or how about the old bill doing random breathalyzing again, which seems to have completely disappeared? No, what they do is ban. That's all modern. It's not just in this country. Just they used to educate and now they ban. That's all they do, right? And I think it's a shame because that's something we've done well in this country over the years. And we can't admit it to ourselves, say that this is actually going all right. Maybe the government could stay the fuck out of this. The UK is really good at it. I think to the point where I think the next Ashes shouldn't even be to do with cricket. I think we should go, come on, Australia, give us your figures, yeah? Because, yeah, you might have Travis Head smashing hundreds at the top of the order, but have you seen the numbers for the M6 toll? Honestly, mate, it's safer than going roller skating. So it bugs me that we can't acknowledge when there's something we're doing well. It's almost like saying, you know, like Britain used to have really bad numbers for teen pregnancies and now it's not an issue as well. I mean, if anything, you might well say, looking at the birth rate, we might need to get a little bit of teen pregnancy. Obviously not, I mean, not obviously, you know, of a, Jesus Christ, I'm digging a hole here. Move on, Jeff. Now, the issue of business rates for pubs came up at PMQs, and just a quick bit on PMQs, quite a lot of not excitement if you're a politics nerd. Kemi had a good run towards the end of the year. Could she kind of keep it going? And the answer was sort of, because she had to respond, obviously, to the big emerging international news. And the main thing was that Starmer had given, you know, his permission for UK troops to deploy in the event of a peace deal in Ukraine, right? And it's very strange with Starmer, I think, where this guy, his kind of international ambitions are almost limitless. But then it comes to domestic stuff, and his main thing is like the scale of his ambition is, I've got to stop people selling stolen goods at car boot sale. So he kind of pledges that. And then she's like, well, you've got to come and give a statement at the house. And he's, you know, he's old Slippery Starmer. But I have to say, on the whole, you know, when it talks of international law and statesmanship, he does all right in that area. She did okay too. You know, she had a line of attack, which was she tried to peg it back to defence spending. And she said, well, you know, you're spending money on welfare rather than defence. The truth is the Tories saw, you know, welfare went up under the Tories and defence spending also went down. The scale of it has certainly been exacerbated under Labour. And the one thing that happened actually was that the Speaker, Lindsay Hoyle, had to intervene because Starmer was doing that patronising thing he sometimes does with Kemi. He was telling her, she should probably be asking the question. And the Starmer, no, sorry, Lindsay Hoyle eventually, hey, look, you, right, you don't need to be asking her, telling her what questions to ask. I was like, thank fucking God someone done it. And let's have those kind of umpire LBW type appeals where we start adjudicating whether or not he's answered the question. But yeah, overall, I thought, you know, it's probably a score draw. Maybe Kemi just shaded it. But what happened was, and this is where it benefits Reform. And by the way, again, not an endorsement of Reform. I'm just saying what I see is that it got into a slanging match over who degraded defensive capabilities more and who was spending more on welfare. So once again, you know, I mean, at some point, Reform will have MPs and they'll be, you know, just as up against it in Parliament. But for now, it must be a piece of piss for those. They must, you know, like that meme where people arrive with a big thing of popcorn. That's the Reform Party at PMQs every week. Okay, before you fast forward the bit where I hype my own gigs, I'm not hyping my gigs in this section this week. Matt Marnie, you might remember Matt, has been on the show. He's sort of like a geezer guru, Matt, and he's very good with all forms of like male wellness, Pilates, you know, stretching and movement and mindset as well. And he's doing an online talk, which I want to draw your attention to. So Matt Marnie, everyone always remembers Matt's name. It's brilliant alliteration. And it's kind of like a webinar type thing. So go to his Instagram and it's about, it's called From Stress to Strategic Advantage, How to Stay Productive Under Pressure. And yeah, if there's anyone I've known that could give you good advice on that, it is Matt, Matty Marnie, Matty Marnes, right? It's a good name. All right, as promised, we're going to go now from talking to pubs to talking about the weather, right? Storm Goretti. Goretti just sounds like a knockoff beer trying to be the new Moretti. You had a pint of Goretti, do me? No, it's like 5.1%. Goretti, strong boy. Goretti, is that French? Is that why half the country shut down? We've got a French storm coming over here. So, yeah, there's been loads of travel warnings. LNER advised people not to travel as there's major disruption across the network. And there might be bad weather too. Ba-doom, tsh, travel gag. Now, I think with the travel stuff, obviously, man, listen, if you're sitting there without power, I hope that gets restored. Like, that's serious, serious level shit. You know, then it kind of comes down the scale of things that cause grievance, you know. I think having to de-ice your car twice in the same day is well up there. I don't know what it is about that. It's one of those trivial little things that makes you think that the Lord God is acting against you. Like, in itself, you can't possibly be that upset. Oh, I've got to de-ice my car. Oh, 5 minutes de-icing my car. And it's bad enough in the morning when you've sort of forgotten that's a possibility. But then when you leave work, like, I came back last night from doing the radio record and my car was iced again. And I was like, God damn you. You know, it's like on my knees, like shaking my fists at the moon. That stuff's annoying, isn't it? That stuff's annoying. Also, having to boost your heating several times throughout the day. Now, it might be a blokey thing. Now, you might just say, leave the heating on. I say no. I just want to kid myself that it's going to break. And the last thing that I want is to have unnecessarily had the heating on for more than a second. And I do, you know, we do have those perennial arguments. You know, you have those perennial arguments about how we cope with bad weather in this country. But it's just something, it just doesn't happen that often. I don't know what people expect. It's like getting air. No one in this country is getting aircon in our houses for the 7 days that you might need it. And I don't know if you've heard, but there was a report in The Independent that said that it is actually illegal. I think it's illegal. David Demay might help me out with this. But to, you know, like any sensible person, to de-ice your car would leave, you know, you just go out, turn the engine on, hope it doesn't get stolen and just leave it running for ages and let the car warm up, right? Apparently that is, idling is illegal. That does, I mean, idling is illegal does sound like a biblical, like a, what's the word, one of the Ten Commandments, you know? Thou shalt not idle. Thou shalt not leave thy Skoda hatchback warming up on the driveway. And how is that illegal? I mean, it just shows that governments have over-legislated, doesn't it? When you're saying that the government can literally intervene in the idea of how long you can leave your car on to warm it up. I mean, it would be quite apt in terms of the crime landscape in this country. That if you think about the things you can get away with and the things that you can't, it would be so of the time if you got done for idling. You know, you can go and do a trolley dash through a Tesco Metro, stolen wine, doesn't matter, mate. On you go. Have a good night. But you want to get the ice off your car without getting fucking hypothermia and losing a digit. Okay, in a cell for you, boy. And there's, you know, it's treacherous driving out there as well. Oh, this is one last story I wanted to throw in there, is that they're talking about doing eye tests for drivers over the age of 70 every 3 years. Now, I'm aware that I have a spread demographic for this podcast, so I will tread carefully here. But it's got to happen, hasn't it? Really? It's got to happen. If you ever see a news story that says drove 3 miles in the wrong direction, it's always some little old deer, isn't it? It's always some little old deer. And the problem is with older people is the older they get, the more belligerent they get. And trying to tell them, you know, they'll be like, oh, well, I paid my full stamp. If I want to fucking just reverse the wrong way round a roundabout, I'll do it. It's but every time you watch Caught on Dashcam, it's some little granny, isn't it? Just she drives, and for some reason, if it's an old lady driving the wrong way up the M6, hilarious, immediately hilarious. Oh, you just imagine some old little Mrs. Miggins there. There you go, if a 19-year-old boy, not so much fun, not so much fun. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that. I'm going to try this year, because obviously we're now into a year and a half of a Labour government, and we're aware that they're not doing the most fantastic job. And of course, we'll always cover that. But I'm going to try and be alive, and we're going to cover other stuff. Let me know what you think, what most people think, uk@gmail.com. And of course, patrons can get in touch direct through the website. You can also leave a review from this podcast, any place that you consume it. Reviews help. Spotify, very helpful. And if you get it on Apple Podcasts, let's have a quick look here. Oh, we got a new one. Very nice. This says, this is from Coalbox. Coalbox. Coalbox says that a bit of a geezer. Yeah, a bit Danny Dyer. Been with this podcast since the very beginning, so it's about time I wrote a review. If I remember correctly, I discovered Jeff on the early trigonometry and followed him from there. Jeff shares honest and common sense opinions. He's never driven by ideology and often has... this accent's going all over South London now, as an original or clever take that no one else seems to have considered. Despite the multitude of podcasts, what most people think remains the one I look forward to the most. Long may it continue. Bless. He didn't say that, but I just got into the character. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, if you leave 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, I will read them out. We'll be back next week. Francis Foster is back on the show, and obviously being Venezuelan, let's see what happens there. I haven't spoken to Francis since the invasion, but it seems quite timely. And of course, I'll be keeping an eye on the weather and the pubs.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.